Gonna do some Pentecostal stuff in here because I got my illustration will be running a little bit across the up here on the stage. But if you have your Bibles tonight, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is one of my favorite books. It gives a lot of knowledge, and Lord willing, and Megan knows, and some of you guys might know, but I need a lot of wisdom. You know, growing up, I was not the most wisest, not the most, I didn't make the greatest decisions, and Proverbs got me through it all. But tonight, title, if I had to title this message, it would be Watch Out for the Ditch. And you say, well, that's a weird, odd title. Well, let me get to explaining it. But for the ones that maybe you drove into a ditch before, most of the time when you see a ditch, it's trashy. There's all kinds of nastiness in it. Most of them are filled with tall weeds. Most of them are real muddy. And more than likely, when you maybe accidentally drove into a ditch, maybe you wasn't not listening, but maybe you weren't paying attention. Maybe you were trying to dodge a dog or a cat, some type of animal, and you fell in. And most of the time, either your car got stuck and you had to ask for help to get out, or you just was able to get out. But a long while ago, even though, you know, I'm not that old just yet, but you know, I don't have many stories, but when it comes to stories, I gotta have some good stories here. But a long while ago, I used to bale hay. I was real young, and I lived in Texas at the time, and there was this guy, his nickname was Cowboy. And you say, well, that's obvious, it's Texas, you know, but his nickname was Cowboy. Well, he was delivering a load of 100 bales of hay to a friend's house that I stayed a night at that time. He was a, he helped put the horseshoes, he floated their teeth, he did all kinds of training for these horses, but he was delivering the hay for them to eat, but he was pulling into my friend's driveway, and you know, when he was pulling in, one of us, so it was my friend's dad, he kept saying, hold it, pull forward, you missed the driveway, hold it, pull forward again, miss the driveway, and he's not in here tonight, but I'll tell him to his face, since his parents are here, I'm just going to load it out there. You know, Carter, I went to his house to help him load up a trailer, and he did kind of the same thing. I should just use that as a story. He kept getting mad, and he said that his dad, you know, said, oh, my dad did it too. He kept pulling in and backwards, but I don't believe that. I feel like he got it the first try. But anyway, I just had to put that out there. But he was struggling, but eventually, out of all this story, he ended up going into the ditch with all this hay. And you'd imagine a big old trailer with 100 bales of hay, it got stuck. So a friend's dad, he had to get his side-by-side, and he had to end up winching it out, pulling it out. But there was a lot of lessons that day that was learned. And so here in Proverbs chapter 4, if you could stand in honor of God's word, we're going to read a little bit this evening. We're going to read from verse 11 all the way down to the end of the chapter this evening. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For thy sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear, and unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep me in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And here, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Lord, we're thankful for this wonderful night. God, I'm thankful for this opportunity just to just to be here and just be able to be in this front of this pulpit and just to, for you to use me. Lord, I ask that you just put me to the side and hide behind your cross, and Lord, that you just speak to somebody tonight. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and everything you do for us. And Lord, we just ask that you just be with our pastor and his family. Give him comfort, and Lord, that we can still glorify you through everything. Lord, we love you, name pray. Amen. You guys may be seated. So, I want to preach tonight about watch out for the ditch. And you say again, man, that's just weird. Well, you know, in ministry, there's a lot of times when we say, hey, watch out, this is going to happen. Hey, we've been down that path, that's going to happen. And sometimes you say, oh, you're right, pastor, or I'm just going to go down it anyway. You know, the ditch in the Bible is a picture of the description of a helpless life. We know in Job, a lot of things happen. Hey, guys, can you turn off these monitors from up there and mute them? Thank you. But we know in Job chapter 9, a few verses here, 27 through 31, it says, if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou will not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? 30, if I wash myself with snow, water, and make my hands never so clean. And 31, it says, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. You know, we see here that, you know, Job went through a long, rough road for a little bit, right? We know that, you know, everything that Job did, he didn't necessarily understand, and his own wife told him to curse God and die. You know, there's a lot of things that Job had to get through, but the thing is that he moped around. His friends weren't necessarily a help. His wife for sure wasn't a help, but the thing is that he still plunged forward. You know, he saw the ditch, and I'm sure that he was along the line ready to go straight down into the ditch, but I think he just rode the line for a while. And then towards the end of Job, we know that God blessed him with double everything. If we just listen, if we go and we go through Proverbs here, it talks about wisdom. You know, wisdom is an important key. You know, I was sitting here, we were going through a wisdom series in youth. You know, I believe that the youth need some good guidance and wisdom. You know, you go through day and day with, imagine being in their school in today's world, you know, even from my time being in school, it's a whole lot different for them today than it was just 5 years ago. You know, it's a sad thing. We see here again in letter B here at the beginning is the defamation of a heathen liar. In Psalm 7, 14 through 16, it says, behold, he traveleth with iniquity, hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. 15, it says, he made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. And when going a few chapters over to Psalms chapter 9, verse 15, it says, the heathen are sunk down into the pit that they made and in the net which they had in their own foot taken. You know, we see that, you know, we can only dig so much. Once you're so far down in the ditch, you know, you think of, you know, when you're stuck in a hole, you're stuck in mud, and your wheels are going and going and going and going, eventually you're going to go right into the frame of the car. You're never going to be able to get out. And maybe that's somebody here tonight. Maybe you didn't listen. Maybe you didn't ask for help. Maybe you're the one that says, man, I'm the person that my personal life is just a wreck. Maybe your relationship is a wreck. Maybe your relationship with God is a wreck because you're not listening. You just think you can do whatever you want. And here, the deception of a hypocritical leader. You know, the worst thing is a bad leader. A bad leader ends up leading you to the wrong things, and then that wrong things lead you even to the deeper part of the ditch. And Matthew 15, 7 and 8 says, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, how far are you going to go until you finally know that you're far enough from God? You know, I always refer to the youth just because that's the only cool stories I guess I got besides my kids. But, you know, I tell the youth that we did a little lesson. You know, how many of you guys got lost before? You guys can talk back. You're driving, you got lost. You know, me and Megan, we were on our way to Virginia, back where my in-laws used to live. And going through the mountains, we lost, you know, service, and I really thought we were lost. So we pulled over, and we sat there, and finally I got one bar, and I said, yes, babe, I got it. And we're good. Let's keep going straight. But, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, we get lost and we're so far from God that we're not pulling over to say, hey, are we on the right path? We're going to the right or we're going to the left instead of turning back around. It's a sad thing. So that day, what cowboy ended up in the ditch is I learned several things about getting in the ditch. There's a lot of things that we can learn when you're stuck in something. When you're stuck in the rut, when you're stuck in a situation, number one is the predicament is harsh. Sometimes it's a hard learning curve for us. You know, old cowboy was bogged down good up to the axle. He sank down so fast that he couldn't get out. You know, if the ones that could drive, and again, I grew up riding dirt bikes, four-wheelers, and, you know, mudding was the funnest thing until you got stuck. It kind of ruined the fun. Everybody had to go around you, and when you get stuck, it's no fun. But a ditch is not designed to drive in or travel in. And sometimes that's how our lives are. We're trying to travel in a ditch, and we're so stuck, and we're getting so bogged down, and we can't get nowhere in life because you're running from Christ for something that you don't want to face. You know, it is unfriendly terrain. It's a ditch. It's a rut. It is uneven. It is rugged. In so many cases, it's deep and it's dangerous. You know, Braxton, he likes to play in the mud. And, you know, I'm glad he likes to play in the mud, but we got a little cliff that we always have to tell the kids, don't go over there. He trained Maisley to go over there, and I want to say she might have tumbled down one time because he was sitting on, like, this little edge. I have little railroad ties going all the way around my property as far as to keep the vehicles from going over, and he'll stand on top and, Dad, watch, and throw a rock. We constantly have to tell them, don't go over there, son. Don't go over there, son. And it's almost the same thing, you know, when he's here at church or even at home, he likes when people chase him. And, you know, we always constantly have to tell him, Braxton, you need to run with your head up. You can't be running with your head down because he runs like this and, you know, he's just going around and, you know, eventually he has hit a couple of walls, and I think that's sometimes what's wrong with him. But then, you know, my in-laws, they love me so much, they say, well, you're the dad. But that's just the other thing. But, you know, a ditch is usually full of mud, trash, debris. It's a picture of a time of hurt, pain, frustration, suffering, discouragement, but people get caught up in a ditch and they can't get out of it. You know, we're constantly reminded and we're constantly being told, hey, don't do that, don't do this. But guess what? We end up having to finding out on our own way because we're too stingy or we don't care what the other person has to say. You know, you think of, you know, being the youth pastor and watching the teens and just going to the high school. You know, every time I go to the high school for Bible study, the teacher's like, whew. These kids don't listen. I tell them thousands of times, and they're getting detentions, and they rumble around in the hallway. And I came up one day, and the principal says, if anybody's in the hallway right now, you're getting suspended for a day. And I was like, dang, they ain't playing around here. But you think, if we would just listen. I always tell, go back to all these things, is I feel like sometimes we have a peewee-sized brain, and we just can't bring it all in. If we can kind of get rid of the trash a little bit that, you know, we remember. You know, I'm like preacher as far as music and all that. I'm a music guy. I know all kinds of music. But there's times when it's like, why do I have to know so much about music instead of knowing a whole lot more about God's word? You know, it drives me nuts. And I was telling some of the kids, they're like, man, how do you memorize verses? And in all honesty, you guys can laugh about it. But sometimes I'll throw on a random beat on Spotify and I'll sit there and, you know, rap to the beat. You know, for the ones that weren't here Friday night for our little concert, whatever you want to call it, you missed out on a good little show. But anyway, but people get caught up in the ditch and they can't get out. There are so many kinds of ditches that people get themselves in. Number one here is financial ditches. You know, financial, it just kills young couples. It kills just families, period. Money just kills people, period. You know, I always tell people at Bible study, one of the teens asked, man, how does my pastor make all this money? And he's a pastor. Well, one is either he's in financial issues, or two is he doesn't really care about much of God, in my opinion. That's just my personal belief there. But financial Again, me and Megan, I'm not saying that we're debt-free, that we're this and that, but financial is a really harsh burden on people. The next one here is emotional ditches. People struggle with depression, discouragement, anger, and bitterness. You know, some of the teens know this, is that I used to be called Negative Nancy because, you know, my old boss would, you know, give me an idea, and I'd say, nah, that's stupid, that ain't going to work. You know, sometimes, you know, we got to get that out of ourselves and start being excited and joyful, especially when it's about God's Word. You know, we sit there, some of us come to church sometime, we sit here and we say, yay, praise God, we're in church. And then we sit down and, oh, man, I can't believe I'm here. And then as soon as it's over, you're ready to go and you're excited because you want to go hit up Frisch's or you want to go hit up Company 7 and whatever it is. But when it comes to God's Word, you're just a Debbie Downer. Next thing is mental ditches. People can't control their thought through life. You know, sometimes it's hard, but if you let God control it, then you can get through life. Next thing here is moral ditches. They fall into sin. We know that in the Bible it talks about David and Bathsheba is a perfect example of that. Last thing is spiritual ditches. Sin which doth so easily beset thee, or beset them. Lay aside every weight. You know, if we know that something in our own homes is going to make us sin, then we got to get rid of it. It's just like the message I preached a while back ago about burning your bridges. You know, your past life is your past life, but you got to keep moving forward, and you got to get a light or a match and blow it up, get rid of it. You know, there's so many ditches that we just got to let God have. We got to get out and start learning instead of saying I, and let God say God. Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. I skipped over that, but it's going back to the financial. You know, the worst thing ever, I hate when it comes to that day, backing up a few steps here, when it's, you know, bill day. I feel like sometimes I get paid, and then, choo, it's gone. But thing is, don't let none of these financial, emotional, mental, moral, or spiritual ditches get to you. You know, if you're struggling through something, the number one thing here is you can pray. Number two is you can ask for help. You know, sometimes our pride gets in the way and we're too scared and we're afraid what the other person, if they're going to judge us, or, you know, we're afraid, we know, oh, that person doesn't have a lot. Who cares? The only thing that matters is your relationship with Christ. And if you're in an emotional ditch, more than likely you're not in Christ and God's Word. Number two tonight is progress will be halted. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, moving forward. You know, this year, our kind of a theme is invite more in 24. We're trying to, you know, get more people here. We're trying to move forward. Because you think here is that if we have more people and we're pressing forward, we all have a goal, and that goal is to, you know, see more people each year get to know Christ, to grow closer to Christ. But the thing is if we're not moving forward, then what are you doing? Are you moving backwards? Are you moving side to side? What are you doing? You can't grow. You can't be a blessing. And you can't enjoy church if you're in a ditch. We see in Proverbs 4:12, it says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Straighten here is to bend, be distressed, be in distress, be cramped, be narrow, be scant, be in straits, or cause distress. You know, there's multiple references of going forward. And like I said, is you can't have a successful prayer life if you're in a ditch. If you're struggling with something, you can't, you know, even being in ministry, if you serve in any serve anywhere here in the church, you won't be able to enjoy it. You're always going to be, you know, depressed because you're dealing with something instead of trying to ask for help. Instead of praying, God, I need your help. God, I need to get closer to you. But when you're in a ditch, people are hindered. Traffic jams are a result of one person running off the road. And that's one thing that drives me nuts, especially around here, is I feel like there wouldn't be as much traffic jams if people would learn how to drive. You know, when this cool light that's red, when people would actually say, hey, that's a red light, I should stop, instead of, oh, that looks like red, so I got to go faster, there would be less traffic jams. You know, yesterday when me and Megan was coming home, we were out with the McGee's having a good fellowship and got some new clothes and stuff. And, you know, on our way home, there's a wreck on 75. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, and it was kind of stressful because I'm like, I'm ready to get home. The kids are crying. They're screaming. And I'm just like, man, I got a headache. I just want to get home because I got to, you know, always review my Sunday school lesson that on Saturday nights. And, you know, I'm like, man, I got stuff to do. And here I am behind this. It looked like a one-car wreck. And I'm guessing because they weren't paying attention. Or they're probably texting and driving today. But anyway, traffic jams are a result of one person running off the road. But that day, that cowboy ran into my friend's dad's ditch. Everybody coming around that bend had to slow down and drive around him. But people that were having no problem at all driving suddenly found their journey interrupted. You know, when somebody, just one person, can ruin another person's day. One person can ruin another person's week. Because one, you're a Debbie Downer, you're a negative Nancy, you're whatever you want to call yourself, because you're having one bad day. But the thing is that if we said, God, thank you for allowing me to be here today, thank you for giving me the breath for another day, you know, we'd be more excited. You know, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean that you got to give it out on everybody else. You know, sometimes I catch myself doing that. You know, sometimes I... My kids, especially Braxton, I don't know what he ate Friday. I don't know what he ate Saturday. And that kid's been on something. He's been like 99 miles an hour. Hey, Dad, why? Dad, why? Hey, we're on vacation here. Dad, that's the beach. Hey, Dad. And I'm like, dude, can you stop? But, you know, sometimes I catch myself where I don't have to scream at my kid just because he's asked me a question, and the biggest thing that always drove me nuts, now I see why I drove my parents nuts, because I always ask my parents, why? Why can I not do that? Now I see why, and I think it's coming back to bite me in the butt, because, Braxton, why? Why? But the thing is that I can't let that hinder my attitude. It's just, you know, a little kid that's, you know, just enjoying life. If we can just have the same mindset as some little kids. You know, you think of some little kids, that, you know, especially my kids, they wake up at like 6:30 in the morning, and they're ready to go, snack, snack. Ooh, Rachel. Ooh, whatever other shows they watch, cars. You know, imagine if we woke up and we were just so excited and ready to go for our day, but sometimes we wake up and we're just, where's the coffee? I got my 8 hours of sleep, but where's the coffee? Now imagine if we woke up and we're ready to go. You know, I believe that there's going to be coffee in heaven, but I also believe, you know, we're going to be excited and ready to go all the time. We're not going to be a bunch of, I'm in heaven. And if that's you, then I don't know what to tell you because, man, I don't know. I just can't wait. But anyway, let's keep moving forward here. People that were having no problem at all driving suddenly found their journey interrupted. But some even stopped to try and help get out of the ditch. But you know, sometimes going back and forth with that image is sometimes when people ask, hey, can I help you with something? We just nip at them. We're ready to fight. You know, if we could sit there and say, yeah, I need help with this. Let our pride, let our emotions, let everything go and say, you know what, I need to get this off my chest. Imagine how much better you would probably feel instead of saying, no! Leave me alone! You know, we'd probably feel a whole lot better. But one person's mistakes affect so many others. The road suddenly became dangerous for others, and this one mishap created such a distraction for so many people. You know, when you're here and whatever, even in public, and you're just having a bad day, and you're just so angry with life, you know, that really hurts other people's. You know, when preacher told me about his mom, and all I could do is I felt sad with him. You know, I'm not saying that was a bad thing, but, you know, when you're in an angry mood, it hurts other people. It puts other people to... you know, well, why is that person mad? I want to be mad with them sometimes. But imagine if we were all happy. But many others were affected by this one man's inability to stay out of the ditch. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fell of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Going to Romans 4:13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather than no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. But do you realize how many people you cannot help if you're in a ditch? If you're struggling in life, how are you going to help with somebody else? If you're having a problem with somebody maybe they're friends with, how are you going to help that person? You know, there's a lot of things that this could go on and on and on. And, you know, going through is how are you going to, you know, influence somebody? How are you going to lift them up if you can't even lift your own self up? How are you going to give them advice if you can't even give your own self advice? How are you going to give someone else advice if you're not going to listen to that other person's advice, and that's why you're in the ditch? You know, if we could just have some wisdom. If you never read the book of Proverbs, read it, because there's a lot of wisdom in there. You know, how do you stay out of the ditch, you say? Well, if you go back to verse 11, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Well, God already gave us the wisdom that we need, but we just all fall short of it. There's times when we're sitting there, we second-guess ourselves. There's times when, man, God, are you sure this is right? You know, that was one of the things that I was excited to get in ministry, but going from money, making some good money, to going into ministry, I always had to remember what preacher says. If you're in ministry to make money, you might as well find something else. But when I was sitting there thinking, I was praying, well, God, this is what you're calling me to do, you know, I got to have faith that you're going to provide. And, you know, praise God that he's always provided for everything that's been sometimes a struggle. But as you keep going down there, verse 12 says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You know, if we follow God, quit looking left, quit looking right, quit looking back at your past. Everyone has a past. It could be good, it could be bad. That's the past. This is the present. And the cool thing is the future only gets better if you're following what God has for you. You go to B, another way to how to get out of a ditch is to refrain from evil. Verse 14 through 17, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of the evil men. You know, who are you hanging around with? Who are your close friends? Where are you going on the weekends? That's a way to get out of evil. You know, just one friend can bring you all the way back down to the ditch that you're trying to get out of. Sometimes you got to drop those friends and say, sorry, man, either you can start following the path that I'm following, and that's the path that Christ gave me, or you can just do your own thing. You know, I had to do that to a lot of friends that, you know, I grew up through high school with, and I thought we were cool, and then once they saw me going to church and, you know, finally surrendering my life and all that, there's nowhere to be found. They don't talk to me. They don't check up, but, you know, we were friends. You keep going there to the next verse, 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some more fall. Keep going there, for they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You know, if we can just avoid, refrain from evil. The next thing here in 23 through to the end of the chapter is restrict our eyes. What are you looking up? I mean, we can even go a step further as what are you listening to? You know, we can keep going on and on as far as how to refrain from evil, how to keep on the path that we need to stay on. But the thing is that if you're not willing and able, then ask yourself this, why are you here tonight? Because you were willing and able to be here in God's house tonight, and you're searching, you're wanting something. And if you're not willing to listen, then why are you here tonight? Because listening, most people, when you're listening to something, you're wanting to learn something. And when you're wanting to learn something, you're going to applicate that to something in your life. But the thing is that we got to be willing to do so. You know, watch out for the ditch. Because, again, any of us could go in. And it could just be a snap of the finger, because we know that Satan is wandering this earth, seeing who he can snatch up and push into that ditch and push into that ditch and say, oh, I got the pastor in the ditch. Oh, I got the associate in the ditch. Oh, I got the pastor's wife in the ditch. Oh, I got the leadership team in the ditch. You know, a lot of things could happen. But it's going to take us to be either say, I'm going to refrain from evil, and I'm going to sit there and have my focus on what God has for me, and either people can see what I'm doing, or they can back off. Because you don't need those people in your life that's going to constantly drag you down. For the ones, this wasn't a salvation message, but you heard tonight that how to refrain from evil, how to get away from the world. But tonight, you know, you can make the decision, either I'm going to follow what the world has, which is evil, or I'm going to do my best and follow what God has for me. Because we're all still going to sin, but the thing is if we're saved, we're going to sin less. If I can have all eyes closed, head bowed. You know, tonight, like I said, it wasn't a salvation message, but it was a message that I personally needed to hear. I feel like every time when I preach, teach, it's a lot of times it reflects on me, I feel like, and I praise God for that. But the thing is that there's some things tonight for the unbeliever that says, I never accepted Christ, I'm living in evil, and I don't know how to get out of evil. Well, the thing is, the number one step is you got to know who Christ is, why he sent his son to die on the cross for you and I, why he loves us so much. Well, he loves us so that we could go to heaven. He sent his son to die on the cross for you and I so we can have eternity in heaven. But the thing is that you can either have eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And he says that, you know, he loved us so much that he did so. Romans 10:3-10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one perfect besides him. I'm not perfect. Nobody else in here is perfect. Just Jesus Christ. But in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know, we've all sinned. Like I just said, you know, we all done some stupid thing. If it was stealing, lying, talking back. But the thing is, in Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he knew that we were going to mess up. He knew that we were going to do all kinds of dumb stuff. But he says, hey, if you would repent, get rid of the old and become new. You know, he loves us. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, if you say, I want to be a new creature, I want to repent of my old self and become new. Well, we see there in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody. And so tonight I ask that if that's somebody in here tonight, if you could, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to, make fun of you. I want to pray for you. I want to be able to say, hey, I want to be a person that prays, a person that can show you exactly how out of God's word to get to heaven. And for the ones that are saved, maybe you're in a ditch, or maybe you're